Thank you for downloading this audio podcast from the Vocalise London Beyond Sight project.
Hello, my name is Jude Kelly. I'm the Artistic Director of the South Bank Centre. When asked which London landmark I would choose for the London Beyond Sight project, my first thought turned to an object that I have the pleasure and privilege of walking past many times each day. It's the large head and shoulders bust of Nelson Mandela, magnificently cast in bronze by Ian Walters, himself a lifelong socialist and prominent supporter of the African National Congress. The bust stands on the west side of the Royal Festival Hall, on the first level thoroughfare linking Waterloo with the embankment via Hungerford Bridge. As such, the pleasure of being able to pass the bust daily is not mine alone. Thousands upon thousands of people use that route every day to cross the river, and every day I notice people pausing to stand and stare up at this image of Nelson Mandela's face. Many, of course, are of African descent, but there are people from all over the world who've come to find it. The reason that it gives us pause for such reflection is because in my lifetime, along with Gandhi, he is probably the most significant example of sticking to the idea of justice, of managing to create peaceful freedom for the many. And it's such an inspiring story. He's still alive, of course, but maybe for not much longer. So to have at the South Bank Centre a sculpture that is emblematic of the reason why this site first came into being, the Festival of Britain, after a war in which people fought fascism, it seems so appropriate. Here, they fought believing that imagination could make people's circumstances different. As I look up at the bust, I often think of Mandela on Robben Island and how it must have been his imagination that made him believe that his future could be different. I reflect on the importance of the idea of struggle on behalf of other people, whether on the world stage or in a tiny part of domestic life. The bust is a reminder of the importance of all our individual lives, and that in the great sweep of human history, people can make a difference. As well as the thoughts and ideas that the sculpture inspires, I admire the work as an object of beauty in its own right. The bust is mounted on a block of smooth, shiny black marble, about 1 meter square and 3 meters high. In the front of the block, you're able to feel the name Nelson Mandela etched in white capital letters at eye level. And then below, the key points in his story have been added to since its unveiling. The words read, "The struggle is my life." Jailed 5th of August 1962. Sentenced to life imprisonment 12th of June 1964 for his actions against apartheid. Unveiled by Oliver Tambo, President of ANC, 28th of October 1985. The following words were later added. Nelson Mandela was released after 27 years imprisonment, 11th of February, 1990. Awarded the Nobel Peace Prize, 10th of December, 1993. Inaugurated President of the Republic of South Africa and its Government of National Unity, 10th of May, 1994. What a history. The bust itself is as tall and thick as the block of marble on which it rests. The jet black of the marble and bronze strike a stark contrast against the pale limestone wall of the festival hall. The texture of the sculpture itself is rugged, like the outside of an oyster shell. It doesn't have pure clean lines, so it's not handsome in a conventional sense, but it's full of character. It has struggle in it, reflecting the struggle he must have felt through all those years of solitary confinement. The image is presented from the top of the chest up. Where the collarbones meet, there's a deep groove which leads to the throat with bulging Adam's apple. Then the head, looking slightly to the left, eyes fixed in the same direction, as though noticing something looming in the distance. It's a thick-set, fleshy face with square jaw, thick lips and prominent cheekbones. The skin bulges slightly either side of his wide, bulbous nose. Thick-set brows furrow over concerned-looking eyes, where hollowed-out curves create deep, dark pupils that draw you in. Creases cross his high forehead, and then a short mound of hair has a groove through one side as a parting. Despite his experience of struggle, or maybe because of it, There is a lack of sentimentality portrayed in this image. His expression is proud, determined, and defiant. It's a complex image. It's got depth and gravitas, and yet it's hopeful. It's regal, and yet it's not pompous. It is, above all, a still, strong, solid presence. But beyond all of this, the thoughts and ideas, the texture and expression contained within the image, I mainly look at the smile on his face. And in doing so, I find it a very humane piece of work. It is this slight, gentle, knowing smile that connects me with everything I've read and know about the man. The idea of resorting to revolutionary means because the pain of people being imprisoned by prejudice is too great. And then, once the chance for freedom comes to people, the similar fight he put into remaining peaceful. That's all etched into it for me. We read into his smile, indeed the image as a whole, his history. Above all, what I love most is seeing dozens of school children, every colour, black and white, gathered around, all knowing that this man mattered. For the black kids, and there are many of them living locally who can still feel quite marginalised, they can look up and think that this is one of the world's heroes who spoke openly and freely about racism and the need to eradicate it. It's about acknowledging that humans are tribal and bigoted and defensive and mistrustful and like power, and at the same time, they can give away all of these things if they're helped. For this reason, I'm pleased and proud not only to know that the sculpture is part of the South Bank Centre complex, but also that every time I pass it, I have the opportunity to stop and stare and pause and reflect. I hope you will find that opportunity to join me.